Hey, it's Amy Newmark. Please enjoy this rerun of one of my favorite episodes from last year.
Changing your life one story at a time. This is the Chicken Soup for the Soul podcast with Editor-in-Chief Amy Newmark.
Hey, it's Amy Newmark with your Chicken Soup for the Soul. And today's inspiration advice come from Chicken Soup for the Soul, Grieving, Loss, and Healing. These 101 inspirational, compassionate, and empowering stories will help you cope with loss, regain your strength, and find joy in life again. And they'll also help you understand how to help someone who is going through the grieving process or how to accept help yourself from the people around you. And that help can come in the form of a few key words, wise words that shift your perspective and make all the difference. So our first wise words today come from John Stevens, who wrote, "Although it is inevitable, losing a loved one is never easy. Suddenly, a part of your life is gone, and there is a gaping hole that was once filled with love. I, like everyone else, have had to cope with this emptiness. But it took the death of my dear friend Sarah, a border collie who was my faithful companion for almost 16 years, to come upon a discovery that changed my life." So John and his family had adopted Sarah from a foster home. And this little puppy had obviously been abused because she feared people, especially men. Nevertheless, she singled out John from day one to be her new person, wagging her tail at him immediately, despite the fact that she still feared all other men. Sarah was devoted to John, and since she hated being left home alone, he took her to work where she lay under his desk and was perfectly behaved. Finally, when she was 16 years old, she had advanced cancer, and John had to make that very difficult decision to let her go. He says, "Days of grief followed. Friends tried to say the right words. Hugs were given generously. Everything helped, but they couldn't fill the void. I tried pep talks to convince myself that it was all for the best, and so on and so on. Then one day, John was taking a walk, and he saw his reflection in the window of a shop, and he realized that his grief for his dog was actually a reflection of his love for her. The greater the love, the greater the grief." John says, "My dear Sarah's death created a deep and profound sorrow because our love for each other had been deep and profound too. The sorrow was a mere reflection of the joy we had shared." What a precious thought. It allowed me to cope with my emotions. Every time I experienced the pain, I remembered that it was a mere reflection of our love and a reminder that it still existed. Although she was no longer with me, Sarah's love was. John went on to realize that he wouldn't give up any of those precious moments with his dog just to lessen the pain later. And that's when he decided to embrace his emotions and view them as a reflection of the joy he'd had with his beloved dog. So I thought that was a great way to put grief into perspective. The greater the grief, the greater the joy you'd had with that person or that pet. And you wouldn't give up any of that, right? Anyway, that's why I was pleased to include John's story in our new collection of stories about grieving, because I found it so helpful to me personally. In another powerful story, Michelle Close Mills tells us that a few years ago, she took daily walks along the winding paths of a cemetery near her Florida home. The peaceful setting helped her feel closer to her father and grandmother, who were buried in Indiana and who had died within a month of each other earlier that year. The cemetery was usually empty, except on Friday afternoons when an elderly, well-dressed gentleman was there, sitting on a lawn chair, facing a headstone, reading aloud from a book. A red rose and a styrofoam cup with a straw were propped against the marker. After a few weeks, Michelle introduced herself to the man. His name was Ted, and he was visiting his wife because they had always had date nights on Fridays. When his wife had gotten sick, He would visit her in the nursing home on a Friday, taking her a chocolate shake and a red rose, and then he would read aloud to her. He said he saw no reason to end the tradition, even though it had been 11 years since she passed. The man said that he'd been lucky to have this vivacious, beautiful woman, and he never knew what she saw in him, saying he was just plain old Ted. When Michelle asked if they'd had children, Ted told her about their two wonderful sons, both killed in Vietnam. And then he told her that he'd had a blessed life, and he was happy to talk about it. Michelle was blown away by what Ted had been through, losing his two sons and his wife. "Ted, how did you find peace after all you've suffered?" she asked. Ted said he moped around for months after his wife died, but then he imagined what she'd say to him. "Ted, quit bawling and get busy." So he did. He got busy again. He told Michelle, "It was tough. There were many days when grief got the better of me, but I pushed through the pain and got on with it." It was getting late, so Ted and Michelle agreed to talk again the next Friday. He could see the pain in her eyes and suggested they would talk about her family the next week, but he wasn't there the next Friday, or any of the Fridays after that, and Michelle saw his obituary in the paper a few weeks later. She went to his memorial service and discovered that Ted was not just plain old Ted. He'd taken in his son's widow and young daughter after his son was killed. His granddaughter told Michelle that Ted had been shot down during World War II and barely survived a German prisoner of war camp. He'd gotten a Purple Heart for that. And then he became an aeronautical engineer and eventually a rocket scientist for NASA. This man was a hero. After the memorial service, as Michelle drove home, she remembered his words. "It was tough. There were many days when grief got the better of me, but I pushed through the pain and got on with it." Those were the words she took with her on her own grief journey, and the words she shares now with other people embarking on their own passages through grief. I'm Amy Newmark. If you'd like to learn more about Chicken Soup for the Soul, Grieving, Loss, and Healing, go to our website, chickensoup.com, and click on the podcast button. You'll see the book there, and you can check out the front and back covers and read more about it, and you will find it wherever books are sold, including Walmart, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and your local independent bookstore. If you want to read stories from Chicken Soup for the Soul, you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You will get a free story in your email inbox every day, including stories from this book. Just head over to our website, chickensoup.com, and click on the newsletter sign-up option. You can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @AmyNewmark, and you'll see links to our free stories and to this podcast. Thank you for listening to these stories today, and please come back for our next episode to hear 6 truths about the effects dogs have on our lives, with stories from another bestseller, Chicken Soup for the Soul, My Hilarious, Heroic Human Dog.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.